Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Valley First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Valley First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. Happy Tuesday, Nico. It's September 9th, 2025. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing very well. Just finished my inbound recap video yesterday, and really happy about how that went, and definitely, catching up with everything now, post inbound, and or at least trying to, and getting the pulse for all the releases and getting the pulse for Breeze Studio and for credits and Smart CRM and all the latest additions.
Yeah, I was actually with the client yesterday and talk like clicking around, in HubSpot doing some stuff. We're bringing a lot of as much process as we can out of QuickBooks into HubSpot, including quoting. And, as I was at Inbound, I was like worried about, the new seats related to quoting. Commerce Hub seats, and it was assured that like, oh, if they have the customer platform, like professional or enterprise, it'll come with some seats, right? And as we were moving through yesterday, I was doing some stuff with Breeze, and the question came up of like, where's the cost, right? So I'm like, oh yeah, there's credits, and I go look at the account. There's no credits in there because they're on the legacy pricing model still. They had not been transitioned to seats, which also crushes the like whether or not they get seats for Commerce Hub. And had a real interesting conversation last night, that that of course came up in terms of like RevOps management of HubSpot and just understanding, like, it's very hard to see a future that's not like 100% usage based pricing. Saying that out loud, I can't imagine any human inside of HubSpot or outside of HubSpot can pinpoint exactly when that happens because all of the revenue right now is generated by not credits. So like, I would love to be a fly on the wall or just know that they've just given this task to AI and just like, hey man, let us know. Breeze, let us know when like this is true, and this is true, and we're just gonna flip the switch because it's so complex. I mean, you're bringing like three different business models like together using the same tools, like in the same platform, like across 250,000 customers, like good luck, right? But luckily, there's hope because hey, I can do that kind of, trend analysis. I don't know how you think they're gonna go about that kind of.
I honestly, like, the way that I felt after the keynote was, well, partners have a much larger gap to fill now, right? So, like, there it seemed like, partners basically got a lot, like, I don't know, I don't want to say a lot, but it's like they got a break, basically. Because all of this new stuff drops, it's all so very confusing to everybody. We're obviously the closest to home base, so we're going to know it the best first out the gate, which means that we have an advantage to be able to reach out and help clients in that way. I do find it to be like, I agree with you. It's the same as when seats came into play, and all of a sudden it was like, well, why are we having to do this out of nowhere? I'm a firm believer that if you bake in the price, that's way better than parting it out. Because parting it out always makes you feel like you're buying too much. or it always makes you feel like you're overwhelmed by like what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not getting enough. I should be doing more.
Right. Yeah, because you basically say like, I'm paying for all of this stuff, right? Because you're paying out for seats, you're paying out for your monthly, and now you're going to be paying out for monthly for credits, and then you're going to be paying probably for credit packs too, right? So you're going to be paying four different monthlies now, right? On top of like usage-based, but the usage-based is also a like credit pack thing. So it's, I mean, yeah, it is a little bit daunting, definitely confusing. I hope there is a lot more, I'll say this much, there's like a lot more education around the tools right now in Academy, like a bunch of videos just dropped. So I'm happy about that. But yeah, there's still I'm not even joking. I was seriously surprised. I like clicked on Academy and all of a sudden there's just all these like Breeze how-to videos up there and like prompting videos and all sorts of stuff. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely jump into the Academy. You'll see a whole new section of stuff.
We'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised going through
it. And that handles like one layer of right. 200 updates.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And even there, it's like, it was super eye-opening last night because really smart dude that I work with. Again, RevOps focused. That's right. You remember that time in the keynote? like I don't know if I was there. I just heard about it because I had left like to go do some Profoundly booth stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember hearing about this moment where like, did they just replace RevOps? Like,
yeah,
it was like AI ops or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And last night I'm talking like a RevOps practitioner building a business, right? Mm-hmm. He's excited about the plan that he's building to scale and grow. Like there's pipeline everywhere. Like you said, like pipeline is overflowing because of a lot of the confusion and how do we use it? Not even how do we use AI, but like help me clean up my data, help me clean up my systems, help me do this so that I can even have a chance, mm-hmm. right, to use AI. And he's really excited about this plan, very clear. And then he tells me it's a 5-year plan. And I'm like, no, right? No. And so at that point, I share my piece. And this is where, like, I get super self-righteous about this stuff because whether it's AI coming up with it first and it resonating hard, or I come up with it, right, say it out loud, and then I go check with AI and then resonates hard there, mm-hmm. right? And speaking of, you know, LinkedIn user here, yeah. It's 100 loop prompts. Shout out to Adam Sand yesterday, like went through like all the prompts and like it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
But as I'm talking, so I share my piece to this gentleman about how like, no, like 5 years, are you kidding me? Like you don't have that much time.
No.
And so then I take it to with him on a call, I'm like, let's go talk to the Oracle, right? Because an Oracle is a place that understands the timeline we are working with.
Yeah.
And even there, as I'm just like, hey, Oracle, what do you think about this business plan? And it gives an honest assessment. And then I like kind of reframe it. I said, you know, I'm just curious if there's 5 years like to execute this in an AI new in the AI enabled world we're moving into.
Mm.
And Claude comes back with that's the critical flaw in the plan. Yeah. He's building a 2024 business model for a 2025 to 2030 world. And a couple of things it notes, GPT-5's vibe coding revolution already enables non-programmers to create functional software instantly. They're betting on complex integrations and data governance. But if you can build apps with natural language prompts, how long before you can fix data governance issues the same way? Check out Data Agent if you haven't seen that yet. And then another thing, HubSpot's AI agent explosion shows they're moving toward autonomous operation. The business model wants to prevent data hub disasters, but HubSpot is simultaneously building AI that prevents those disasters automatically. The shrinking window. He has maybe 18 to 24 months, not 5 years. Here's why. Year one, this year, his positioning works. Data hub complexity outpaces automation. Year 2 to 3, HubSpot's AI agents become sophisticated enough to handle most governance issues automatically. His 25K per month value prop becomes a 5K per month commodity. Year 4 and 5, the entire integration consulting space gets absorbed into AI native platforms.
Yeah.
The brutal.
And why not? Tech, like, look, right? I want to pause there for a second, because if you haven't, you should go check out the latest, one of the latest. McKinsey, let me tell you something. Beginning of the year, like even last year, like McKinsey was not struggling, but man, they put out like 3 reports last year, which is kind of crazy. They put out like, I came like 30 some odd reports like this year already. Right. And even they are saying that they are at threat of being replaced by AI. Just themselves. I mean, they're just a statistics crunching system at the end of the day. That's all it is. It's a stat computer. It takes one person to run that thing at the end of the day. Really? Like, I mean, the entirety of McKinsey could probably be run by a couple handfuls of people. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. Really? Like, even today, like, people who really knew what they were doing could definitely run that shit with maybe tops. I'm like, just being nice and saying like 50, like that's being seriously nice. Right. So they released a report recently, last week, that looks at the stats on how many jobs are just that automatable. Look, AI agents, real agents, okay, like real autonomous agents that you use on OpenAI that actually go do things for you, like actually go do things online. They're going to get more powerful in that they're going to be able to do more for you. They're going to be able to go to multitudes of sites. If you use Comet, you've already experienced this kind of thing. They're going to be able to shop for you. They're going to be able to use and leverage your programs and all that kind of thing. It's going to get to the point where you're going to have a SOC 2 compliant agent assistant that you basically run all day, every day, that goes and does your work for you, right? Did you hear what I just said? Right. If you work in a job where your job entails working on a computer, your job can be done by AI. That's the long and short of it. Like, I wish I was bullshitting you. There is no job that can be done on a computer that will not be able to be done by AI within 12 months.
Yeah.
Within 12 months, like by next spring. You'll see systems that you wouldn't, like, you won't believe. It will make breakthroughs this year look like.
We can't fathom it. Like, no. That's the thing. We cannot fathom the speed at which with this is happening. Like, Dario's talk, man, just nailed it. Like, we're on an exponential curve that we've never experienced before. There's no signs of it slowing down. Like, we should not expect to understand it better, like, or more. And like, I'm just going to finish the Oracle response here. And then we're going to look at Breeze Agents. Cause I went into Breeze Agents, Breeze Studio, to show like what is being talked about here. Because so the Oracle said, brutal reality check. They're building expertise around the gap between systems. Mm-hmm. But AI is explicitly designed to eliminate gaps. Every integration he's mastering today becomes a natural language prompt tomorrow. The acceleration trap, the success accelerates your own obsolescence. The more he documents integration patterns and governance frameworks, the more training data he creates for AI systems to automate his work. He's essentially building the instruction manual for AI to replace him. Now, if he's smart, this doesn't mean like every single RevOps practitioner has this opportunity that I'm about to describe. If he's smart, he uses his 18-month window to position as the AI integration strategist, not preventing disasters, but orchestrating AI agents across business systems. Shift from preventing data hub problems to conducting the AI agent orchestra. And mm-hmm. like, that's where, like, as I was talking to him, like, still wasn't like, what does that even mean? Like AI agent orchestra, all this stuff, right? This is what it means. All right. If you go to your HubSpot portal and you click on this lovely little sparkle icon and you go like start checking this stuff out, which he had not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I come into agents and you see social post agent, company research agent, 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 agent. And these are all built by HubSpot.
Yep.
And they're allowing us to build stuff and add yep. stuff. So the convergence is at a level like everybody builds on each other on AI. And so like, and what do I mean by that? Okay. Let's look at Dylan's favorite agent. I think it was the customer handoff agent. If I'm not mistaken, we tend to rename things constantly in HubSpot.
Mm-hmm.
So add beta agent. All right. And configure. Right. Optimizing your agent with Breeze Studio. Don't show again. All right. Manage inputs. Automate this agent. Are you ready for these triggers, folks? Whoa, that looks exactly like what we have in workflows. So the agents are here, workflows are here. You can orchestrate it all.
Yep.
Right now, right? At no additional cost at the moment, depending on which one you're using.
Yep.
But
I'm like, but here's
this is RevOps in a nutshell. Unless you're strategic, like unless you're the orchestrator of the system already, like if you're in it, if your mm-hmm. value is doing stuff inside of the system, building, testing, maintaining, fixing, all of it, like the agents in almost all those cases already exist. Of course they do. That's where HubSpot started, by making agents that are valuable, things that are people already doing, right? They didn't just start with like, oh, this would be cool.
Be so awesome.
Right? Like it's already here, folks. And that's agents. You look at knowledge tools. Look at these tools connecting right to MCP servers. Right.
Yeah,
this is just the first four. All these tools like Line Pilot, Clone Attack, happily already getting in here. Like, don't sleep on this. Like, please.
No, because like one of the awesome parts about this, right, especially like the tools, for people that like haven't gotten into like building agents and stuff yet, like tools are, I mean, it's honestly like they're really amazing in terms of how easy it is to build this stuff out by comparison to like what it is in Agent AI. The way in which they've like packaged everything together in HubSpot to make it like even less effort than what it is in Agent AI.
Yeah, which is intentional. Like, I love the way Dylan put it. Like, Agent AI and N8N, and I was looking for a little validation. Like, so this is probably why it hit so well. Like, humans deciding all of the steps that AI needs to take leans away from AI strength. So when you just create instruction and you give it a goal and then let the agent decide what steps to take, that's how they're building out Agent Studio, right? Or Breeze Studio and these agents. And that's like, I don't want to have to decide all the steps, right? I'm not good at that part. If I was good at this part, like I would have beautiful HubSpot portals like all the time, right? But we don't. Majority of people don't, right? And that's where the way that these are built, like just feels really good. Like, cause we tried. I mean, I tried N8N for a little bit. And it's like, hey, if you got dev, if you understand that stuff, like Aaron Wigger's like a wizard, right? Like get after it, right? It's there. Again, that's another level of orchestration.
Right.
That is not available to us most of us mere mortals, right? And again, HubSpot coming through again, if you click on that part of the portal, like bringing the activation energy down, bringing the ease of use down. Now, like everything else in the platform, with immense power comes even more responsibility than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
So take care as you learn this stuff, but it still feels like a safer environment than most other, spaces where you get to play with this level of power. Right. I just had to bring that up because even like, again, we're only like a week, not even a week removed, from this stuff. But, if you don't click on this spot, it's so easy to just go the next 3 months, probably, like without even looking at this.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody will nobody will prompt you to do it. Nobody will get on your case for not doing it because everything else will be running. But like within 6 months, I think, like the big dogs are going to eat. Like once AI is like one of the gaps right now is the scale. Like the everything costs so many tokens and you like hit walls, and you can see once you put enough data on the plate, it's just not, the scale's not there to handle like enterprise, like quick movement that is safe and like trusted, right? It will be within like 6 to 12 months. And once the biggest organizations like have that trust level to just hand over a lot of this like governance, like handing over governance like to AI, it will be very hard to catch up.
Yeah.
Because they have the resource, they have the headcount already to make sure it's being orchestrated properly, right? Like there's opportunity right now for the smaller teams and individuals that don't have to deal with all the change management and all the stuff that's currently getting in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 to 12 months is that window, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like currently, I see it as if you're a business that is driving towards an innovative idea, which there are so many right now. Just when you think about the capability of like So like when I think of generative AI and software, the only thing that comes to mind is like magic, right? Like presto changeo type magic, like, hey, nothing was there and now all of a sudden something is, and I didn't have to do anything. It just happened, right? That, yeah, like that to me is definitely something that, you know, not only is innovative, but it also screams that it's going to disturb like whatever market or ecosystem it launches in, right? I think being that person, you just win the most, right? But I also think that is just the beginning to like this huge echo of, you know, most of those people are going to end up being like the current big whales, right? But there's offshoots of all of that. So even in terms of like, that's, so just as a example, right? There's no one image editor. There's no one image, like generative image creator, right? There's like three different generative image editors. There's like 12, and I'm just counting like ones that have names. Even half of these you probably don't know about, but like they're known. I'm not even counting all the stuff on Hugging Face, right? So like there's like 12 major video creating platforms. Obviously there's like, I don't know, at least 20 different just generative text platforms. It's only going to get like larger and wider. Even when I'm on other platforms, there's always a selection of models. So whether, I don't know how Canva is, maybe it's like really boiled down there. But on other like creative platforms, you have like part of the creative aspect of it is choosing the model that you're going to use in order to get the job done. So there is this aspect from the like technical side or the job side where knowing the technicalities of the models actually matters in a way that, you know, for most people that ignore it and they're just like, well, I just want the one thing that does the one thing. It's like, okay, well, you're the standard issue end user and you're going to be like a cog of a different type for a little while. But to your point, in like 6 to 8 months, not sure you're going to have a cog to turn. Yeah. You know, for others, honestly, and I know how weird this sounds and I still don't give a shit. Start being more creative. Like Chad hit the nail on the head, right? The playing field is leveling out so hard and fast that there is no room for, at this point, so far as I can tell, there is no room for, oh, I know better than you do. Or, oh, I know more than you do. Right? The only place in which that applies is like direct information, right? So like if somebody knows more about a particular organization because of word around the campfire down the chain or whatever. Outside of that, skill level wise, nope. Good luck. A director of graphic design now knows nothing more than the lowliest apprentice of graphic design. It's just over now. Like the apprentice can learn all of the same things that the master knows, right? They can go practice all of those things and learn them all on their own without the master being present. It's not necessary anymore. People who have no programming skills whatsoever can go and program whatever they want to, right? In that type of environment, when everything is level and everything is the same, the only thing that differentiates is creativity. How creative are you with the same tools that everybody else has?
And with that, everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.